You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, July 27, 2022. Almost Paradise, a drill-down report on ESG in the energy industry. Published by Housley Carr. Over the past few years, the simultaneous drives for action on climate change, diversity in the workplace, and corporate accountability have coalesced into the environmental, social, and governance, PRESG, movement. The energy industry has been at the center of all this, of course, because significant volumes of greenhouse gases, or GHGs, are generated with the production, processing, transportation and, especially, consumption of hydrocarbons. But while many energy companies have developed ESG strategies and goals, the ESG movement has also come under increasing scrutiny and criticism and from all sides, it seems. So where does the movement stand today, and what are its prospects in a world that is now as focused on energy security and affordability as it is on quickly reining in GHG emissions? In today's RBN blog, we discuss highlights from our new drill-down report on the issues surrounding ESG. It's not surprising that ESG came to the fore in the late 2010s, or that players in the energy industry, oilfield service companies, E&Ps, midstreamers and refiners, have taken on central roles in the movement. Back in 2015, the Paris Agreement attracted the world's attention and made it clear that governments and industries of all stripes would be taking serious steps toward reducing GHG emissions. Also, a new generation of entrepreneurs and investors was eager to take socially responsible investing to the next level, with the multifaceted aims of making corporations more open, more diverse in their management and staffing, and more committed to improving their environmental performance. By 2020 and 2021, most energy companies had developed ESG strategies in which they detailed their efforts to reduce emissions of carbon dioxide, methane, and other GHGs, and to ramp up their efforts on the social and governance fronts. But there's been some blowback, especially lately. Advocates of more aggressive climate action have asserted that ESG programs by many hydrocarbon-focused energy companies are little more than greenwashing, a subterfuge designed to soften the skepticism among ESG-minded investors and lenders and the general public about their industry and its activities and products. Investors, lenders, and policymakers have legitimate questions about the degree to which the claims of environmental progress by energy companies are vetted. In other words, how do we know if their purported gains are real or go beyond what companies are required to do by law? Also, a number of recent studies have suggested that ESG-focused mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, underperform the broader market, that many companies touting their ESG cred have less than stellar records on compliance with environmental and labor laws, and that some companies use ESG as a cover for poor business performance. As for energy companies themselves, many are surely making honest, earnest efforts to reduce flaring, minimize methane releases, and make their operations more efficient and cleaner. Just as surely, some in the industry believe that a lot of ESG is very squishy or even bunk, but think they need to play along to appease hydrocarbon-wary investors and lenders and/or show the general public and politicians and regulators that they get it. As we discuss in the new drill-down report, the E for environment, and ESG is mostly about reducing GHG emissions or otherwise mitigating their impacts on the planet in general. The report explains that the primary focus is on reducing emissions of carbon dioxide, or CO2, and methane, CO2 because it is by far the most prevalent GHG and methane because of the intensity of its impact in the first several years after it is emitted into the atmosphere. GHGs are generated at pretty much every step in the production, delivery, processing, refining, and especially consumption of fossil fuels. To help in the measuring and tallying, the powers that be in the ESG world divide a company's GHG emissions into three buckets: Scope 1, GHGs directly caused by the facilities and equipment that a company owns or controls; Scope 2, indirect GHGs from the electricity a company buys; and Scope 3, all other indirect GHG emissions that occur in the company's entire value chain, including the emissions generated when end products like gasoline, diesel, propane, and natural gas are consumed. The report examines what each type of energy company, from oilfield service providers to refiners, is doing to reduce its GHGs. For oil and gas producers, for example, these efforts include: Number 1. Reducing or eliminating routine flaring, which typically occurs due to a lack of infrastructure to either utilize the gas on site or transport it to market. Number 2. Implementing leak detection and repair, LDAR, programs to minimize methane and other GHG emissions from pipes and equipment through audio, visual and olfactory inspections, optical gas imaging cameras, portable gas detectors, and aerial methane monitoring. Number 3. Reducing venting, which is made possible, for example, by the use of vapor recovery units that remove vapors and gases, including methane, from storage tanks then route them into pipelines rather than venting them into the atmosphere. Number 4. Moving to electrify operations that traditionally depend on internal combustion engines. Number 5. Increasing the use of renewable energy sources to provide low or no carbon power to their field operations and offices. E&Ps are also increasing the use of multi-well pad drilling to reduce how much ground needs to be disturbed, piping instead of trucking away crude oil and produced water, to cut diesel use, and recycling and reusing produced water. We provide examples. Consider the steps that EQT Resources, the largest U.S. producer of natural gas, is taking to achieve its ESG sustainability goals. Among other things, the company has committed to achieve net zero GHG emissions from its production segment operations on a Scope 1 and Scope 2 basis by 2025, or sooner, if possible. EQT also has established goals to reduce its Scope 1 GHG emissions intensity to below 160 metric tons of CO2 equivalent per billion cubic feet of natural gas equivalent, a roughly 70% reduction compared to 2018 levels, by or before 2025. And to reduce its Scope 1 methane emissions to below 0.02%, a roughly 65% reduction compared to 2018, within the same period. EQT has said that its GHG emissions reduction efforts in 2022 are being driven, in part, by the program the company started in 2021 to eliminate natural gas-powered pneumatic devices from its operations. EQT also has cited its aggressive LDAR program, as well as its use of green completions technology, which transfers the natural gas at the wellhead to a separator immediately after well completion, instead of flaring or venting the gas. As a result, EQT did not vent or flare any gas during its completions operations in 2021 and has said it will only resort to flaring in emergency situations. To further reduce emissions of methane during production operations, the company uses glycol pumps rather than natural gas pneumatic pumps on existing dehydration systems. These pumps only emit gas embedded within the glycol and do not need to be powered by natural gas pressure, which results in lower methane emissions. And in 2020, EQT transitioned substantially all of its fracturing, or frac, fleets from diesel to electric fleets powered by a natural gas-fired turbine using EQT-produced natural gas. The company has projected that the use of electric frac fleets will eliminate more than 23 million gallons/year of diesel use. EQT also obtained independent certification of natural gas produced from about 200 of its well pads, which collectively produce about 4 BCF per day, making the company the largest producer of responsibly sourced natural gas in North America. In the drill down report, we also point out that well over 100 ESG rating/ranking entities perform in-depth analyses of large, medium, and small companies and their sustainability practices and goals. They use the information they gather to develop ESG scores, ratings, and rankings to calculate which companies are out front on ESG issues, which are lagging, and which, over time, are improving. Institutional and individual investors and many lenders consider these ESG ratings when making decisions about which companies to invest in or lend to. We note that, as critics of ESG will point out, in the U.S. there is little regulatory oversight regarding ESG programs and ESG scores, and the various assessors can and often do differ widely in their ratings. However, there are a number of ongoing efforts to provide more standardization and structure to the process. The leading ESG rating agencies include MSCI ESG Ratings, Bloomberg ESG Disclosure Scores, S&P Global ESG Scores, and Moody's ESG Solutions Group. As an example of their work, Figure 3 in today's blog on the website shows the large and mid-cap oilfield service companies, E&Ps, midstreamers, and refiners based in the U.S., including the company's stock symbol, its name, its overall ESG rating, and its environmental pillar score, or EPS, or rating on environmental matters only. Finally, the report discusses the criticisms that the ESG movement, and efforts to advance it, have faced. For example, there has been blowback to the Biden administration's push for a faster-paced decline in GHG emissions and to the Securities and Exchange Commission's, or SEC, controversial proposal to require all publicly traded companies to report their GHG emissions and obtain independent certification of their estimates. The Supreme Court's June 2022 decision in West Virginia v. EPA, which scaled back the Environmental Protection Agency's EPA authority to implement GHG reduction rules similar to the ones the Obama EPA proposed a few years ago but were never implemented, also poses a challenge to the ESG movement. In effect, the ruling appears to limit regulators' leeway in interpreting or expanding upon environmental statutes and suggests that Congress would need to approve legislation that specifically authorizes EPA to ratchet down GHG emissions from the power generation sector and other key parts of the economy over time. And, of course, there's the global energy crisis sparked by Russia's February 2022 invasion of Ukraine and the subsequent sanctions on Russian energy exports by the US and its allies. The net effect has been a re-evaluation by policymakers and others in Europe, the US and elsewhere of the pace of the energy transition. The emerging view seems to be that it may take more time for the pace of the transition to a lower carbon economy to pick up steam than many had hoped, and that, at least in the near term, the risks and costs of that transition need to be balanced with energy security and maintenance of available, affordable energy. It is too soon to know for sure, but all of that could have the effect of reducing the urgency of ESG-related efforts by U.S. energy companies. Many of these companies want to address legitimate concerns about climate change, but at the same time they don't want to get too far ahead of their peers, particularly if that would put them at a competitive disadvantage. For information about RBN's new drill down report on ESG, visit today's blog on the website at rbnenergy.com. Almost Paradise Love Theme from Footloose was written by Eric Carmen, music, and Dean Pitchford, lyrics. The song features Loverboy's Mike Reno and Hearts Ann Wilson on vocals, and appears as the third song on the album Footloose, original motion picture soundtrack. Writer Eric Carmen was the lead singer of the legendary Cleveland power pop band The Raspberries, which had a platinum single with Go All the Way. He's also had several hits as a solo artist, including the mega-hit power ballad All By Myself. Almost Paradise is a classic 80s power ballad, with 80s production that includes electronic drums with a kick drum mixed with so much high-end point that it sounds like a basketball on a hardwood floor. The song was released as a single in March 1984 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart and number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Mike Reno, Ann Wilson, vocals, Charles Sanford, electric guitar, Keith Olsen, bass, acoustic guitar, producer, Bill Cuomo, keyboards, synthesizer, and Jim Keltner, drums. In 1989, Eric Carmen, with singer Mary Clayton, released a single of the song. The album Footloose, original motion picture soundtrack, was recorded at various studios in the Los Angeles area in 1983-84. The 9-song album had different producers for each artist's song. The producers involved were Kenny Loggins, Lee DiCarlo, George Duke, Heath Olsen, Jim Steinman, Bill Wolfer, David Foster, John Boylan, and Sammy Hagar. Released in January 1984, the album went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 9X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 7 singles were released from the LP, and 6 of them became top 40 hits. Footloose is a 1984 American musical drama directed by Herbert Ross. It starred Kevin Bacon, Laurie Singer, Diane Weist, and John Lithgow. The film grossed over $80 million, making it the 7th highest-grossing film of 1984. A remake of the film, directed by Craig Brewer, was released in 2011. Mike Reno is a Canadian singer, musician, and the lead singer for the band Loverboy. They have released 9 studio albums and 29 singles. He still records and tours with the band. Ann Wilson is an American singer, musician, and songwriter for the band Heart. With Heart, she has released 15 studio albums, 9 live albums, 9 compilation albums, and 64 singles. Wilson continues to record and tour with the band.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.